This pandemic's been going on so long that I've lost weight and gained weight about 3 times. Now for the real news, virtual meetings are basically modern chances. It's like, you know, that's what Zoom meetings have turned into. It's like, Elizabeth, are you there? Make a sound if you can hear us. Is anyone else with you? We can't see you. Can you hear us, Elizabeth? Are you there with us? More lighthearted news. FLOTUS and PLOTUS have acquired the so-called Chinese virus. So, to help Donald Trump get the full COVID-19 experience, let's make sure he loses his job and gets evicted from his home next month. How's that? Okay, but for real, so we have the real news over here. It is declared officially that India is the safest, very safest place to commit crimes against women. I mean, the state would defend you. The central government would ignore your, would ignore your crimes. What will happen instead is that the crime that you have committed, like you have assaulted a woman or someone or their family, would be boycotted. Their whole village would be abused. Their mobile phones would be taken off. They would have cut off from the world. They would not be allowed to meet anyone. And any special investigating teams would not investigate you as a criminal who have committed an assault on a woman. But instead, they would investigate the victim's parents. How amazing. I mean, you guys, what are you waiting for? Book a flight ticket, fly to India. This is the only place where it is very, very heavenly, comfortable place for any kind of crimes to commit against women especially. In the world, there is no other place where the victims would be so harassed, so abused, so belittled by the government, by the state, by the police or anyone else as much as in India. So, as I said, this is call for all of the criminals out there who are, you know the stuff, you have seen the news. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. This was all sarcasm, just in case you didn't get it. I'm being very fucking sarcastic about how the Hathras case in India of gang rape against a 20-year-old woman or 19-year-old woman was treated. She was physically abused to so horrifyingly abused that her tongue was cut off, her spinal cord had been broken, her neck had been broken, and the last rites were forcibly burned off on an empty field while her family was locked up in the house with 200 policemen guarding their house. That is the level of protection you get. That is the level of protection India is providing for its abusers. I'm very proud to be here. Moving on, today we will be also be talking about a lot of cough syrup. You will know why, because that is the topic of today's episode. More serious note, we have the war that is going on between Armenia and Azerbaijan. The fighting is getting very intense there. We are still on the brink of the so promised third world war by 2020, so we don't know what would be happening. And the more updates, just because I'm from this hometown, Turkey and Pakistan and China are again trying to team up and gang up against India once again, you know, trying to occupy the border, trying to fire in the LOC where there is no firing orders. Like, we had peace with them, still they're violating all those rules and they're doing their best to irk Indian soldiers, army people, basically Indians. Just wanted to let them know that we are Indians. When it comes to us, we will destroy you as whole. Stay away. As I promised, we will be talking a lot about cough syrup today. Today we will be talking about cough syrup killers, my dear crimies. Welcome to Crime with Kay. Before this rant, it was all sarcasm, so if you're taking it very seriously, literally, then just get out of my podcast. I don't need you to hear me. Thank you for visiting this place. That's the last on that, so we'll get into the story. On September 1st, 2017, Lauren Hughes Lemire Phelps, 29, was brutally stabbed to death by her husband, Matthew Phelps, 28. Matthew claims this was due to having an overdose of chlorhexidine cough and cold medicine, which carries much more weight than the 911 dispatcher initially thinks. Lauren was born in 1988 and grew up with her parents and two sisters in Kentucky. Lauren was extremely close and tight-knit with everyone in her family, and they were also very religious and traditional. But more specifically, she had very close bond with her father, Dale, and her sister, Beth. When Lauren was attending middle school, she went with a boy named Matthew Phelps. It's not specified if the two were actually friends or close at all, and it's more likely than not they just knew of each other. The two parted ways in high school since Matthew transferred and Lauren eventually moved to Raleigh, North Carolina. Later on, in their mid-20s, Matthew reached out to Lauren through Instagram and began catching up again. For a few months following their initial online reunion, the two began a long-distance relationship. Since Matthew was still living in Kentucky, whereas Lauren had moved. However, despite the hundreds of miles apart from each other, Matthew and Lauren's relationship began progressing quickly. Matthew started visiting Lauren in Raleigh and eventually moved there just to be with her. While Lauren and Matt began to fall head over heels for each other, most of Lauren's family was supportive of relationship, except for Dale. He seemed to have an off-putting feeling about Matt, yet continued to subside his feelings since his daughter was happy. Eventually, Dale's skepticism is finally justified. One night, while Matthew and Lauren were over Lauren's parents' house for a game night, Matthew confesses to all of Lauren's family that he had already had a failed marriage prior to dating Lauren. This immediately confused Lauren's parents, and they began questioning Matthew's character and integrity. Since he was so young and he has already been divorced, Lauren's parents were primarily concerned for Lauren's life. Since she was someone who was dating for the purpose of achieving marriage. Even so, she was hoping to share a life with Matthew in near future. The couple finally got engaged in 2015 and had the wedding the following year in 2016. The pair were both huge fans of the franchise Star Wars and incorporated it into their wedding theme. To the outside looking in, it seemed like Lauren and Matthew were the perfect couple and everyone's relationship goals. Lauren was constantly posting pictures of the two of them on her Instagram, so everyone got the perception they had a flawless dynamic. But here's where things get twisted. Again, as a warning from the last episode, which I said, like, always ask about your date's childhood. Here, Lauren wouldn't ask, and apparently Matthew had a very, very rough childhood. Unlike Lauren's family, who is very tight-knit with her family, Matthew did not have a family like this growing up. Matthew was primarily raised by his grandparents as opposed to his parents. He had a single mother who was only occasionally around, and his biological father was completely absent from his life. His mother remarried a few times, but Matthew was never able to form that father and son bond with any of his stepfathers. This flawed dynamic during such a trivial time in his life caused him to start acting out. When Matthew entered high school, he started hanging out with the wrong crowd of people and began abusing drugs and alcohol. More specifically, Matthew and his friends consumed corridicin, cough, and cold recreationally. Like most heavy cough medicines, taking more than recommended dose can cause a high, and this was something Matthew consistently took advantage of. This addiction began to spiral, and Matthew's grandparents eventually took Matthew out of public high school and put him in a private Christian academy to get his life back on the right track. For the time being, this worked well for Matthew. He started getting better grades in school and went off to college after graduating. He eventually attended a Clear Creek Baptist Bible College in Pineville, Kentucky, and seemed to have significantly improved from his early high school years. But the couple's biggest issues started only after marriage, of course. As the two continued with their married life together, more and more irreversible problems started to put a wedge between Lauren and Matthew. First and foremost, despite the fact Lauren's family was ultimately accepting Matthew, Matthew's family didn't act the same way towards Lauren, since his mother treated her very poorly. To name one incident, Matthew's mother came to his engagement party wearing a white dress and thus took away the attention from Lauren. For a majority of their relationship, Lauren and Matt's mother had a distant relationship due to the forced turmoil caused by his mother. In addition to his family, Matt himself demonstrated many problems that put a strain on his relationship with Lauren. Both partners had different lifestyles growing up in their adolescent years, and it shaped them into being opposite kinds of people that may have trouble coexisting together. Lauren was a very hardworking and independent woman who worked multiple jobs at once to stay afloat financially. Some of Lauren's jobs include being an auditor, a daycare worker for her church, and participated in an MLM company. Meanwhile, Matthew did not like working and consistently had trouble keeping and finding jobs. A common cycle he would go through was Matthew would find a new job, start working, and then suddenly leave the job with little explanation as to what the reason was. Eventually, what seemed to be an attempt to keep their marriage afloat and impress Lauren, Matthew decided to go back to college to become a pastor for their church. When it came to his job, inconsistencies of jobs, that wasn't the only factor putting financial stress on Lauren. Matthew would also spend money that was over their budget on frivolous things such as electronics and gaming equipment. He would even go to the extent that stealing money out of their savings, cash out of Lauren's purse. According to Lauren's family, Lauren had approximately $10,000 saved before getting married to Matt, and then right before her death she only had a little under than $1,000 left in that savings. Matt's spending habits caused many fights between the couples, as well as keeping them from pursuing things they wanted to do together. As mentioned before, the couple was a big fan of Star Wars, and we're trying to save money to go to Disney World. But every time a little bit of money was saved up for the trip, Matt would take it and spend it on himself. Not only did Matt take Lauren's money without asking her, But it was implied that Madhav may also have committed adultery. Lauren and Matt had a neighbor named Valerie, whom Matt would often confide in and spend time with. There was one occasion, according to Lauren's sister Beth, when Lauren was talking on the phone with her while she was cooking dinner for Matt. When Matt came home from work, he said to Lauren he was going to hang out with Valerie, and after he left, he texted Lauren saying, "Just eat dinner without me. I'm having way too much fun with Valerie." I mean, how dare he says that he's going out with a woman while this lady is working her ass off and trying to prepare some food for him. I don't know what was Lauren thinking. Despite Matt's casual attitude around their neighbor Valerie, this wasn't the same way he reacted when Lauren had friends who were men. Lauren and Matt also had multiple fights over jealousy. Because Matt was worried there was another guy at their church he thought may have feelings for Lauren. These fights lead to Matt not being able to trust Lauren for no real reason, and Lauren to push back against Matt. At this point, Lauren was on the verge of leaving Matt and couldn't take his immature behavior anymore. However, her conflict came to a screeching halt on September 1st, 2017, when a 911 dispatcher received a call from Madhav in the middle of the night. Now, this is where it gets bloody, gory, etc. About the murder. At around 1 a.m., a 911 dispatcher received a call from Madhav, who sounded like he was pretending to act delirious. Phillips claimed he had accidentally stabbed his wife to death while he was dreaming and suddenly woke up and saw his wife, according to his side of the conversation with the dispatcher. Quote, "I had a dream and then I turned on the lights and she's dead on the floor. I have blood all over me and there's a bloody knife on the bed, and I think I did it. I can't believe this. I don't even know what time it is. Yeah, I can see her. She's 29. She's not breathing. Oh my God." Unquote. Not long after this portion of the phone call, Madhav admits to why he is acting so strangely and giving a terrible excuse for his murder. Again, quote, I took more medicine than I should have. I took coridicin cough and cold because I know it can make you feel good. A lot of times I can't sleep at night." Unquote. In less than 15 seconds later, police arrive at the scene in hopes of saving Lauren, but she was immediately pronounced dead when arriving at the hospital. Later, during the autopsy, they saw that Lauren had obtained 123 stab wounds. Meanwhile, back at the crime scene, everything about the decorum was very unsettling and didn't look authentic. The knife was set perfectly on the bed, as Matt said in the call, and the cough medicine was laid out on the bathroom counter, supporting his claim to taking cough medicine. Investigators said the way everything was placed looked staged. Furthermore, when investigators arrived at the scene, Matt had almost no blood on him, aside from some of his shoes and a few drops on his shirt. Obviously, this comes off as looking suspicious, because it was clear he tried to clean himself up. And if you feel as though you needed to clean yourself up before calling 911, then you know you did something wrong. At the crime scene, Matt had a complete shift in his demeanor. He spoke to the cops in a very emotionless and matter-of-fact for obvious reasons, the cops immediately took him into custody since he was a prime suspect, and it's more likely than not Matt was the one that murdered Lauren. Now, the world would see Matt's dark side. As mentioned before, Matt admitted to Lauren's family while him and Lauren were still dating that he had already had a failed marriage. After him and Lauren started fighting over jealousy and trust, Matt admitted the reason why his marriage failed was because his wife cheated on him. He claims that his ex-wife went on a missionary trip, met a new guy along the way, and then left him for the other guy when she came home. However, despite the story, Brooke Truitt, who is Matt's first wife, his so-called ex, came forward and did an interview saying that wasn't true at all. This wasn't why the relationship ended. The real reason they filed for divorce was because Truitt shared a lot of similarities in her relationship with Matt as Lauren did. When Truitt was married to Phelps, she also struggled a lot with Matt, spending too much money, not contributing anything to their life together, and Matt actually cheated on both Truitt and Lauren multiple times. Also, going back to before Lauren had died, she had expressed to her family multiple times that Matt was very controlling over her and she contemplated leaving him on a regular basis. But because she was so faithful to her religion, she wanted to make the marriage work and tried to push divorce further back as a last resort. As investigators looked further into Matt's motives, they found a journal he had written in before he killed Lauren and talked about all of his adversities. He discussed how he had low self-esteem, was feeling insecure in his relationship with Lauren, and felt as if he didn't fit in well with her family. Another neighbor had been interrogated after Lauren's murder, who was a woman that they had thought Matt flirted with. She remains anonymous, but she had said that they were only friends and bonded over their similar struggles with depression and anxiety. But as they continued spending more time together, Matt began talking about more morbid subjects such as suicide and death in general, because he was aware that this friend of his owned a licensed and concealed gun in her home. The last major piece of evidence for Matt's motive that investigators discovered was a secret Instagram account Matt had. The handle was Matty_radical, and even though the account is private to the public, investigators said the posts on this account contained Matt talking about devil and demons. Many of the pictures on this account contained screenshots from the movie American Psycho. Oh, he had an inspiration. This was Matt's all-time favorite film that he was not only obsessed with, but he also idealized the protagonist in the film, Patrick Bateman. He loved him so much. He had his own pictures on there of him dressed up as a character himself. Lastly, right before he murdered Lauren, he posted an Instagram photo with a caption saying, "Everyone thinks I'm a serial killer. #FoundAngelToKill." Okay, #FoundAnAngelToKill. That's twisted. I mean, Matt was giving out red flags from the start. Lauren was ignoring it and Lauren's family was blind to it because they felt that okay, Lauren's happiness is the first priority for them. So with those old red flags and he lying or hiding the truth from them and etc., it all turns out to be what was the end situation. Now we will look at the trial, what really happened after this, after Matt was found guilty. So finally, when the trial came, prosecutors used all of the evidence and information that was shared in the last section, but also tried to argue that Matt knew what he was doing when he killed Lauren. This was mainly due to the fact that once they got access to Matt's phone, they found his search history in his browser, where he was typing in questions such as, "How loopy does coricidin make you?" and "Have other people been high from coricidin?" So from looking at these Google searches, it's clear this murder was premeditated, since he was already planning on using the cough syrup medicine as a scapegoat. Investigators also did a luminal test around their apartment to see if there was any of Lauren's blood that Matt tried to clean up before the police could see it. Sure enough, there was traces of blood everywhere. There were blood all over their bathroom, and it was obvious Matt cleaned it up for the authorities. When it came to Matt's attorney, they didn't have a lot they could work with to defend Matt. I mean, could have just made up instead of blaming a cough syrup, because, "Oh, I thought my wife was a cake. I was going crazy. Everything's cake." Such an asshole. Their main argument was that this wasn't in Matt's character, and his reasoning for doing this was because he was in a more unstable and depressed headspace. Great. The only follow-up with this argument is the court received a few letters from Matt's co-workers over the years saying they never thought Matt would do something like this, and essentially arguing the same thing as the defendants. The trial finally came to a close on October 5th, 2018, where all of Lauren's family and members of her church showed up to see Matt's sentencing and raise awareness for domestic violence. Matt ended up accepting a plea deal and pled guilty for the first degree murder of Lauren, and was sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole. After his sentencing, Matt vocalized an apology to Lauren's family, but it ultimately means nothing to them and they cannot forgive him. Lauren's family is continuing to grieve the loss of her and feel a sense of blame for not stopping their relationship from progressing further. To this day, they have put together an organization called Lauren's Light, which raises awareness for abusive relationships and domestic violence. So, if you or someone you know may be in a dangerous relationship, domestic violence, or an abusive relationship, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 or go to www.thehotline.org. That's our crime story for the week, my dear crimey. So what is the lesson that you learned from today's crime? Is not to be born in the traditional family and not to stick with your traditional values to an extent where you would risk your very own life itself. And just kidding, man, these rules and regulations are made for humans, okay? It's to make us into a better people, to bring order, to serve everyone equally. Rules and regulations are for our purpose. Our purpose is not to follow rules and regulations, if you know what I mean. And if you are even, next time find something more brilliant, okay? Just like blame my wife or my husband, I thought they were a cake, was going crazy, etc, etc, instead of cough syrup thing. Still, I think it's it's still good getting high on cough syrup and stuff. And children, please don't do that. I mean, I have a lot of listeners, teen listeners, and hi, hello everyone, just don't get high on whatever syrup I said. Don't Google it, don't buy it, don't get high on it. Don't have to get high this soon and get your actions are spiraled out in so many ways that you would regret it. Anyways, as usual, always listen to Crime with K. I'm signing out, and remember not to pop up as an episode on my podcast, but keep listening to Crime with K. Bye, Crime is signing out.